Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. This is day 7 of the federal government shutdown, and we are 10 days away from the deadline to raise the debt ceiling. There is very little report from Washington, D.C. about trying to break the stalemate in Congress, and the blame game continues. And that's not going to find a solution. But while the standoff continues, there are federal employees who are told to stay home from work, and some work for the federal government is not getting done, and national parks and monuments are closed down. We want to hear how this federal government shutdown is impacting you. Please give us a call at 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. This half hour, we're joined by Walt Wilson. He is a professor of political science at UTSA, and also we've got Judge Val Beard. She's the county judge for Brewster County, where the closing of the Big Bend National Park is causing some problems up there. So let me address Judge Beard. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So what is happening with the closing of the National Park?
The closure of the park is having a substantial impact on our visitor and tourism industry in our county. Cancellations for lodging are rampant at this point. Most people hear Big Bend and assume that Big Bend National Park is all there is to Big Bend. There are actually a number of other destinations out here that people can go to, but they don't know it. So they're canceling at this point. So our visitor and hospitality industry is taking a substantial hit.
So there's still a very big state park out there that's open.
Exactly so. Big Bend Ranch, then we have the Elephant Mountain Wildlife Management Area. We have the Black Gap Wildlife Management Area, and a lot of other opportunities. So we're urging everyone, come on. You'll still have a great time.
So,
best time of year to come out.
Now, isn't your county commissioner's court, are y'all taking some sort of action against the federal government to try and make them open the Big Bend National Park?
In a very narrow sense, yes. It's very likely we will be pursuing a temporary restraining order. It has to do with the original conveyance of Big Bend National Park from the state of Texas to the federal government. The park was conveyed for recreational purposes. But on top of that, public roads in the park, existing public roads were to be preserved. Those roads have been closed now, and that has a substantial impact, not just on basic issues of public safety, but also on commerce in our area.
Yeah, so what is the perceived closure of all the parks? You know, the national park is closed, the state park is open, and that's a pretty huge state park, so there's a lot to do there. But people aren't going out to, you know, West Texas and Brewster County. So what's this doing to the economy there right now?
We are going to take a hit in a big way if this continues. We talk about the visitor industry. But that industry, in turn, supports a lot of jobs here, not just those who are directly in the hotel, motel, and business, restaurants, the folks the restaurants and hotels trade with. It's like a pebble in a pool. It's going to spread out as this becomes prolonged.
So we've heard so much about the government telling non-essential federal employees to stay home, but as far as you're concerned, those are essential employees.
Absolutely so.
And
go ahead. I think the parks are perceived as national treasures. People wait a lifetime to make their visit, so they need to be reopened.
And they just can't just be reopened. They have to be reopened and manned with the correct level of federal personnel, because there's a lot to do out there.
Exactly so.
So you're calling on Washington, D.C.? Are you talking to, I guess, is it Pete Gallego? Is he your congressman? Are you all trying to say these are essential? Tell them to come back to work because other people who were deemed non-essential are now being found to be essential and they're being told to go back to work.
Well, in a broader sense than that, we're calling on all our representatives to get this settled. Begin a dialogue.
And so I know you're the county judge and you've got your finger on the pulse of the people out in West Texas. What is the general attitude out there about this mess that we're in?
The general attitude is that it's intolerable. It's not being handled well. You have to realize we also have another huge federal component of our economy. That's Border Patrol. We have a lot of federal infrastructure related to our federal court system. All these departments are feeling constraints that they shouldn't have to be dealing with.
Sure. With the sequester and now this, it certainly is putting a lot of pressure on people. Well, Judge Beard, I certainly want to thank you for calling in and participating and telling us how things are going out there and the best of luck to you guys.
Absolutely. Tell folks to come see us anyway, okay?
We sure will. Thank you. All right, now with me in the studio to talk more about what's happening with the federal government shutdown, we've got Walt Wilson. He's a professor of political science at UTSA. And so the story with the Big Bend National Park, that's not that unusual. That's happening with all sorts of federal services and parks around the country. We're hearing about Mount Rushmore and everything else.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, Big Bend is a good example. It was referred to as a national treasure. But if you think more broadly about all of these programs that are more or less on hiatus, I mean, every little piece of the puzzle here is a national treasure to somebody. And it may not be important to everyone. You know, a lot of people are never going to visit Big Bend National Park. But
their loss.
Well, I agree. But, you know, I think the broader point here is that this government really does a lot of things for a lot of people. And when you kind of deal with it in this ham-handed way, you end up giving everyone something to be upset about.
And that's pretty much where we are right now. Everyone is upset and everyone's pointing fingers. But as the political science professor over at UTSA, you're looking at this the political dynamic of this. And what are you seeing?
Well, you mentioned earlier that the blame game is in full swing and we may not resolve that. And I guess I could address that briefly. In this system that we have, Congress is expected to act and pass laws. And the way our budgetary process is set up, Congress has to authorize funding for all of the programs on a periodic basis. And so it has decided not to do this. And basically, that means in the current Congress that the majority in the House of Representatives has failed to act, and that would be the Republican majority led by John Boehner. Now, they have passed a continuing resolution, but they have attached it to a demand that Obamacare be defunded, and that is something that's not going to be acceptable to others who also have a deciding
voice. And that's
voice.
Really what's the hang-up here. That's what's causing the big
that's
problem.
That's right.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation talking about the federal government shutdown. We want to hear how this may be impacting you. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. The federal government shutdown, day 7. And who knows how long this is going to last. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. You've heard about the government shutdown, but what you may not know is how it could be impacting you. For a while there, the Amber Alert system was not functioning. They've called the individual back who runs the Amber Alert website, so that Amber Alert is back. The federal government shutdown is impacting things like realtors because apparently you can't get an FAA loan without the government employees being there to take care of all the paperwork. The FCC, the government radio regulator agency, is not functioning. So We're Texas Public Radio can sign on a radio station that we've got papers for. We're waiting to get that cleared. So all sorts of things are happening in the background. And so we're talking about that. And the number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. I do have a caller who wants to join us, and he wants to be anonymous. Anonymous, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. As I was saying, I work for the federal government, and like a lot of folks, was told to go home last week, and then later on received a message to come back in this week and work. Of course, you know, we're not being paid, and I fully expect that we will be paid. But, you know, the real impact on me, I guess, is that there is a certain degree of uncertainty about our financial situation. But moreover, it's been rather enlightening because, you know, as we packed up our things and left the office and were out for, you know, about a week, I came back and found that not much really was affected in my work site. And it makes me wonder again what the public's opinion is going to be of those of us that work for the federal government. If we stay off the job longer, will our relevance and our service and the value of how people see the work that we do, will it be diminished? And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think that, I have people asking me, you know, well, you've been off the job. What was the effect? And for me, there wasn't much one, which, you know, kind of makes me wonder how essential I am.
Well, I think maybe just the opposite is happening. I think people are gaining more appreciation for our federal employees because, well, first of all, you never miss anything until it's gone. And we are recognizing a lot of the work that's being done that's in the background of our lives and we've taken for granted. And maybe, you're able to go for a week and, you know, the sky didn't fall and all those other things. But when you're needed, you're there and you've got a high level of expertise in the area that you do.
Oh, yes. And I don't mean to diminish us as federal employees because the people I work with are all dedicated professionals. But it does beg the question. We had a 20% cut in workforce for almost 8 weeks in a row, and there was a lot of discussion during sequestration about what was going to happen and all the services that were not going to be able to be performed. But I got to be honest with you, as an employee for a particular federal agency, there was nothing that was not accomplished to standard during sequestration. And so on one hand, I'm proud that we were able to get things done with less, and I'm proud of the fact that we can continue to pick up the ball where it was left last week. But it does make me a little bit nervous to think, you know, I hope folks aren't thinking that they just can continue to lay us off and it won't have an impact, and as this thing goes on. The other side of it, too, and I'll get off the air, is that I hope that as you go on through the show that we recognize that there's two parts of Congress, and I think many people forget that. There is the Senate and there is the House, and both sides need to be willing to sit down and talk. And I hope that the Senate, I certainly can appreciate their position that they want to see the Affordable Health Care Act to remain funded, and they believe in it strongly, but that they'd be willing to compromise as we move forward. Somebody's got to give a little bit, and same way with the House. I think that the Senate needs to recognize that the House has an opinion, and the House needs to recognize the Senate has a particular political point of view as well.
Yeah, but I want to bring up the point here, though.
They're not going to get anywhere.
I want to bring up one point, though. One thing is if we can say this is not an appropriate tactic, and we can draw the lines. So, you know, that's what some people are saying to say we can't keep doing this. If there is a compromise and one side says, okay, this was a positive thing to do, then we will have more of these government shutdowns and you will be back in this position next time we have to do a continuing resolution. Okay?
I agree with you. I think that you're right.
Okay, I'm going to move on to another caller, but thank you so much for calling and appreciate it. All right, let's get Linda on the line. Linda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't work directly for the federal government, but I had reason to need a copy of my IRS transcript today and took time off and headed over there, and there's the sign, the government shut down, so no employees at the IRS tax office. So I think everybody's going to get affected in one way or another, whether or not you work for the government.
You know, our whole...
We all pay taxes.
Our society, our business community, our infrastructure, everything depends upon having a well-oiled, functioning government. We get frustrated by the red tape and the bureaucracy at times, but when you need it, you need it. And if it's not there, it's a pain.
Yeah, it is. And we're trying to live our lives, those that don't work for the government. You want to think that you're not going to be affected, but I think everyone's going to be affected and get frustrated the longer it stays shut down.
All right, Linda, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your letting us know about that. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's get Barb Dattman with this, Vice President of the Program Ops at Catholic Charities. Barb, tell me about how the government shutdown is impacting your operations.
Okay, well, as you know, Sarah, you may know, we have 24 programs at Catholic Charities. And so this shutdown has impacted not only our clients, but some of our employees, spouses. So we are trying to help in some small way to make this bridge work until everything's back up and working.
Many people are aware of Catholic Charities doing things like Meals on Wheels. What are some of the other programs that, that people should know about that could be impacted by what's happening?
Well, we sort of go cradle to grave. We serve, we have parenting programs that serve teenage parents, both men and women. We have emergency food, clothing. We pay some utilities, some rent. We have counseling. We have immigration. We have refugee program.
So how is
the
shutdown?
We have voluntary income tax credit.
So you're Catholic Charities, and you're funded by United Way and donations and all sorts of things?
Yes, sir.
So how is the government shutdown impacting you?
Okay, well, the government shutdown is impacting us because our president, Antonio Fernandez, felt like we should do a little something to help these people make the bridge while they've been out of work for a week. So how it's helping us is that we're able to help them by providing the services we provide, and then with very limited funds, emergency assistance for an HEB card as an example, and some utility help because we already do that funding from other sources. So we are just trying to bridge people that need the services with the programs that we have.
So,
helping us.
So are these the services? Because I know like almost everybody now is living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So are this the federal employees that are now like caught in the gap? Or is it the people that were getting help from the government now having to come to you?
These are the ones that are caught in the gap. These are actually people who have been furloughed.
Man.
Whether they are civil servants, whether they are contractors, we have a process we set up And what they will do is bring us in their government ID card and a copy of their letter of furlough. And then we look at their circumstances to see what help we can give them. And that's what we're doing.
Barb, thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in and telling us about that.
Welcome. Thank you for
good
the support
job.
You're giving to the community, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, next caller, another anonymous caller wants to jump in on this conversation. Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, sir. Go ahead.
Quick question for you. I've talked to a lot of other government officials, and nobody quite seems to know. Are the higher officials that are sitting in the Pentagon up in Congress, whether they're state, Senate, or whoever, military, I know actually military got waived, are they actually getting paid during this time while everybody else is waiting on these paychecks and surviving off of their savings?
All right, Mr. Anonymous, we'll get that answer from our expert over here, Walt Wilson, professor of political science over at UTSA. So we do know that the members of Congress, except for those few who have chosen to give their page to charity, they're getting paid.
Right, and I would assume that most of our higher-level officials who would be running the agencies and therefore be considered essential are probably also getting a paycheck, too, while they're running a skeleton operation.
So, but that is something else that is people are looking at, saying Congress is like Anonymous here, Congress is still getting paid, and now, but they're not working, they're not getting their job done.
Well, that's right. We have a situation where it's difficult for people to understand what kind of illogical outcome we're getting here, and how we can have our government held hostage by a Congress that won't seem to get on the same page. You mentioned earlier, John Boehner, mentioning the idea of a conference committee. And a conference committee is where representatives from both houses come together and they iron out their differences on a similar piece of legislation. And that's usually used for, adjusting dollar amounts and budgets and things like that. But
so it's because we have a bill on Capitol Hill.
Correct.
You know, you have the House version and the Senate version. They may have riders attached, amendments attached to each one. So in order to work it out, they come into a room, they come up with a compromise bill, and then...
And then both houses have to pass an identical piece of legislation before it can go to the president for his signature.
Right. So what they have now is we have two continuing resolutions, one that funds Obamacare, the other one calls for either its defunding or delay or crippling of Obamacare. And so the Senate, Harry Reid, is not going to assign a conference committee to try and work out that difference because he says we're not willing to compromise.
That's right. There's no negotiating room on holding the Obamacare package hostage here. Now, John Boehner has, for his part, said that there's no votes for a clean continuing resolution, which would just be the funding of the government. In fact, there are enough votes in Congress to do that. The problem is most of them are Democrats.
Almost all of them.
Yes. 200 or so of maybe 220.
Yeah. So what we have when we talk about this compromise, though, we have to realize that the Obamacare is a law. It did pass, and calling for the defunding of a law in this sort of process,
it's highly unorthodox.
This is brand new, never been done before, and highly apparently destructive.
Yeah, it is. You're not supposed to hold parts of the government hostage to others.
All right, we are out of time. I definitely want to thank you for joining us, Walt Wilson, professor of political science at UTSA. This is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.